The Death of a Government Clerk by Anton Chekhov. One fine evening, a no less fine government clerk called Ivan Dmitrich Chervyakov was sitting in the second row of the stalls, gazing through an opera glass at the Cloche de Cornevie. He gazed and felt at the acme of bliss. But suddenly, in stories one so often meets with this "but suddenly," the authors are right, life is so full of surprises, but suddenly his face puckered up, his eyes disappeared, his breathing was arrested, he took the opera glass from his eyes, bent over, and achoo! He sneezed, as you perceive. It is not reprehensible for anyone to sneeze anywhere. Peasants sneeze, and so do police superintendents, and sometimes even privy councillors. All men sneeze. Chervyakov was not in the least confused. He wiped his face with his handkerchief and, like a polite man, looked round to see whether he had disturbed anyone by his sneezing. But then he was overcome with confusion. He saw that an old gentleman sitting in front of him in the first row of the stalls was carefully wiping his bald head and his neck with his glove and muttering something to himself. In the old gentleman, Chervyakov recognized Brizhelov, a civilian general serving in the Department of Transport. "I have spattered him," thought Chervyakov. "He is not the head of my department, but still it is awkward. I must apologize." Chervyakov gave a cough, bent his whole person forward, and whispered in the general's ear, "Pardon, Your Excellency, I spattered you accidentally."
Never mind.
"Oh, for goodness sake, excuse me. I did not mean to."
"Oh, please sit down. Let me listen."
Chervyakov was embarrassed. He smiled stupidly and fell to gazing at the stage. He gazed at it, but was no longer feeling bliss. He began to be troubled by uneasiness. In the interval, he went up to Brizhelov, walked beside him, and overcoming his shyness, muttered, "I spattered you, Your Excellency. Forgive me. You see, I didn't do it to..."
"Oh, that's enough. I'd forgotten it. And you keep on about it," said the general, moving his lower lip impatiently.
"He has forgotten, but there is a fiendish light in his eye," thought Chervyakov, looking suspiciously at the general. "And he doesn't want to talk. I ought to explain to him that I really didn't intend. That is the law of nature, or else he will think I meant to spit on him. He doesn't think so now, but he will think so later." On getting home, Chervyakov told his wife of his breach of good manners. It struck him that his wife took too frivolous a view of the incident. She was a little frightened, but when she learnt that Brizhelov was in a different department, she was reassured. "Still, you had better go and apologize," she said, "or he will think you don't know how to behave in public."
"That's just it. I did apologize, but he took it somehow queerly. He didn't say a word of sense. There wasn't time to talk properly."
Next day, Chervyakov put on a new uniform, had his hair cut, and went to Brizhelov's to explain. Going into the general's reception room, he saw there a number of petitioners, and among them the general himself, who was beginning to interview them. After questioning several petitioners, the general raised his eyes and looked at Chervyakov.
"Yesterday, at the Arcadia, if you recollect, Your Excellency," the latter began, "I sneezed and accidentally spattered
What nonsense! It's beyond anything! "What can I do for you?" said the general, addressing the next petitioner.
"He won't speak," thought Chervyakov, turning pale. "That means that he is angry. No, it can't be left like this. I will explain to him."
When the general had finished his conversation,